Previously on Chicken Philosophy.
I'm gonna be taking my driver test. I failed the driver's test.
And so I took the test 2 days ago, mm-hmm. I think, if not yesterday. Mm-hmm. No, it's 2 days ago on Friday and passed.
Nice.
And now just recently, yay. After 6 years, just under 6 years of living in India, I finally have a car. Priyal and I got our first car. I mean, it's not my first car. It's my first car in India. The driver's license taken care of and all. Anyway, it's enough personal stuff. Hi, you might remember me from the early days of Chicken Philosophy. I'm Edward. If you saw the previous one with BT on Tellier Desjardins, then you might remember the frankincense thing he did at the beginning. It inspired me to do something similar, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to show you this. So those are all different types of those little thin Japanese-type incenses. And I dropped the die, or the dice. Singular is dice, right? It's not a die if it's singular. Comment below. Anyway, so as you can see, one is cedarwood, two is rose, three pine, four myrrh, five sandalwood, six musk, seven frankincense, eight sage, and nine sandalwood. It's a different brand. Anyway, and zero, I will go visit the mystery box. Okay, so let's see what we've got here. And it is a seven, which 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That means frankincense. Ironic. It's a thin Japanese version of frankincense. All right. It's ironic because last time it was all these different types of frankincense. Most of them, you might say objectively, not good, but nonetheless, interesting. Interesting and weird, and probably better burnt outside or in an open space, not inside my office with the windows closed, as we learned. I think I learned that once before when we were staying in Anjuna back in 2001. Was that 2001? Yeah. All right. Isn't that nice? Smells vaguely reminiscent of frankincense, but mostly it smells like those little thin Japanese incense that you find in temples there. I will go ahead and get started. We left off last time right here. The next chapter is called Dissolving. Did I really read all of this? Wisdom, the True Seeker. Why don't I remember reading that? I thought I left off with awareness. Wisdom, you know the self by nature, one without end. You know the self and you are serene. How can you still desire riches? No, yeah, we did read that. Okay, all right. These are short. The true seeker, the wise man, knows the self and he plays the game. But the fool lives in the world like a beast of burden. Yeah, we did read that. All right. So picking up right where we left off. Dissolving. You are pure. Nothing touches you. What is there to renounce? Let it all go, the body and the mind. Let yourself dissolve. Like bubbles in the sea, all the worlds arise in you. Know you are the self. That's K-N-O-W. Know you are one. Let yourself dissolve. You see the world, but like the snake in the rope, it is not really there. You are pure. Let yourself dissolve. You are one and the same in joy and sorrow, hope and despair, life and death. You are already fulfilled. let yourself dissolve. Okay, next section, 6, knowledge. I am boundless space. The world is a clay pot. This is the truth. There is nothing to accept, nothing to reject, nothing to dissolve. I am the ocean. All the worlds are like waves. This is the truth. Nothing to hold on to, nothing to let go of, nothing to dissolve. I am the mother of pearl. The world is a vein of silver, an illusion. This is the truth. Nothing to grasp, nothing to spurn, nothing to dissolve. I am in all beings. All beings are in me. This is the whole truth. Nothing to embrace, nothing to relinquish, nothing to dissolve. The boundless ocean. I am the boundless ocean. This way and that. The wind, blowing where it will, drives the ship of the world. But I am not shaken. I am the unbounded deep, in whom the waves of all the worlds naturally rise and fall. But I do not rise or fall. I am the infinite deep, in whom all the worlds appear to rise, beyond all form, forever still. Even so am I. I am not in the world. The world is not in me. I am pure. I am unbounded, free from attachment, free from desire. Still, even so am I. Oh, how wonderful! I am awareness itself, no less. The world is a magic show. But in me, there is nothing to embrace and nothing to turn away. 8, the mind. The number 8. The mind desires this and grieves for that. It embraces one thing and spurns another. Now it feels anger. Now, happiness. In this way, you are bound. But when the mind desires nothing and grieves for nothing, when it is without joy or anger and, grasping nothing, turns nothing away, then you are free. When the mind is attracted to anything it senses, you are bound. When there is no attraction, you are free. When there is no I, you are free. Where there is I, you are bound. Consider this. It is easy. Embrace nothing, turn nothing away. 9, dispassion. Seeing to this, neglecting that, setting one thing against another, who is free of such cares. When will they ever end? Consider, without passion, with dispassion, let go. My child, rare is he and blessed, who observes the ways of men and gives up the desire for pleasure and knowledge, for life itself. Nothing lasts, nothing is real. It is all suffering. Threefold affliction. It is all beneath contempt. Know this. Give it up. Be still. When will men ever stop setting one thing against another? Let go of all contraries. Whatever comes, be happy. And so, fulfill yourself. Masters, saints, seekers, they all say different things. Whoever knows this, with dispassion, becomes quiet. The true master considers well, with dispassion. He sees all things are the same. He comes to understand the nature of things, the essence of awareness. He will not be born again. In the shifting elements, see only their pure form. Rest in your own nature. Set yourself free. The world is just a set of false impressions. Give them up. Give up the illusion. Give up the world. And live freely. 10. Desire. Striving and craving for pleasure or prosperity. These are your enemies, springing up to destroy you from the presumptions of virtue. Let them all go. Hold on to nothing. Every good fortune, wives, friends, houses, lands, all these gifts and riches, they are a dream, a juggling act, a traveling show. A few days, and they are gone. Consider, wherever there is desire, there is the world. With resolute dispassion, free yourself from desire and find happiness. Desire binds you, nothing else. Destroy it, and you are free. Turn from the world, fulfill yourself, and find lasting happiness. You are one. You are pure awareness. The world is not real. It is cold and lifeless, nor is ignorance real. So what can you wish to know? Life after life you indulged in different forms, different pleasures, sons and kingdoms and wives, only to lose them all. Enough of the pursuit of pleasure. Enough of wealth and righteous deeds. In the dark forest of the world, what peace of mind can they bring you? How you have toiled, life after life, pressing into painful labor, your body and your mind and your words. It's time to stop. Now. 11. Stillness. This is Jean-Michel Jarre, or Jarre, as I called it, until my Swedish friend corrected my pronunciation. That's better for stillness. All things arise, suffer change, and pass away. This is their nature. When you know this, nothing perturbs you. Nothing hurts you. You become still. It is easy. God made all things. There is only God. When you know this, desire melts away. Clinging to nothing, you become still. Sooner or later, fortune or misfortune may befall you. When you know this, you desire nothing. You grieve for nothing. Subduing the senses, you are happy. Whatever you do brings joy or sorrow, life or death. When you know this, you may act freely, without attachment. For what is there to accomplish? All sorrow comes from fear, from nothing else. When you know this, you become free of it, and desire melts away. You become happy and still. Quote, I am not the body, nor is the body mine. I am awareness itself. End quote. When you know this, you have no thought for what you have done or left undone. You become one, perfect and indivisible. Quote, I am in all things, from Brahma to a blade of grass. End quote. When you know this, you have no thought for success or failure, or the mind's inconsistency. You are pure. You are still. The world with all its wonders is nothing. When you know this, desire melts away. For you are awareness itself. When you know in your heart that there is nothing, you are still. 12. Fulfillment. First, I gave up action, then idle words, and lastly, thought itself. Now I am here. Riddling my mind of distraction, single-pointed, I shut out sound and all the senses, and I am here. Meditation is needed only when the mind is distracted by false imagining. Knowing this, I am here. Without joy or sorrow, grasping nothing, spurning nothing, O Master, I am here. What do I care if I observe or neglect the four stages of life? Meditation, controlling the mind, these are mere distractions. Now I am here. Doing or not doing, both come from not knowing. Knowing this fully, I am here. Thinking of what is beyond thinking is still thinking. I gave up thinking, and I am here. whoever fulfills this fulfills his own nature and is indeed fulfilled. I don't know about this music. Let me just skip a bit. I normally play Jean-Michel Jarre's Oxygen, but I decided to go with Equinox just to be different. This is Oxygen. 13. Happiness. Even if you have nothing, it is hard to find that contentment which comes from renunciation. I accept nothing, I reject nothing, and I am happy. The body trembles, the tongue falters, the mind is weary. Forsaking them all, I pursue my purpose happily. Knowing I do nothing, I do whatever comes my way, and I am happy. Bound to his body, the seeker insists on striving or on sitting still. But I no longer suppose the body is mine or is not mine, and I am happy. Sleeping, sitting, walking, nothing good or bad befalls me. I sit, I sleep. It's actually, I sleep, I sit, I walk, and I am happy. Struggling or at rest, nothing is won or lost. I have forsaken the joy of winning and the sorrow of losing, and I am happy. For pleasures come and go. How often I have watched their inconstancy. But I have forsaken good and bad, and now I am happy. XIV. The Fool. By nature my mind is empty. Even in sleep I am awake. I think of things without thinking. All my impressions of the world have dissolved. My desires have melted away. So what do I care for money or the thieving senses, for friends or knowledge or holy books? Liberation, bondage, what are they to me? What do I care for freedom? For I have known God, the infinite self, the witness of all things. Without, a fool. Within, free of thought. I do as I please, and only those like me understand my ways. I'll close with that for today. This has been a translation of Ashtavakra Gita. I'm covering up the publisher because it's there's nothing wrong with Shambhala Publications, or indeed they just happen to share a little bit of history with the organization that's so problematic, and the same name. But they're two separate organizations. Shambhala Publishing is not raping anybody, just to be clear. But it's unfortunate that they have the same name, because the one uses the books of the other, and they're kind of associated, and people who don't like look specifically at it will assume that they're the same. So they might assume that by not mentioning anything, I'm endorsing the cult in the U.S. called Shambhala, founded by Chogyam Trungpa. And I'm not. I mean, I don't know enough about it to say whether, you know, this book or that book or this aspect of the teachings are worth looking into. But I will say that it is one of the reasons why I've chosen to go all the way back to the Pali scriptures and just spend several years reading those. And then to read the best translations I can get my hands on of the Mahayana, and then eventually come around to the Vajrayana very cautiously and deliberately, rather than just jumping into one of these modern groups. I have, you know, no issue with people who do join them. I just personally, for the sake of keeping the spark of my own interest alive, am nurturing it in this way, where it had basically been all but snuffed out by the horrible acts of those in positions of power in these cults. Anyway, the only reason I brought that up is because I felt the need to cover up the name when I was showing you the book. So this is a translation of Ashtavakra Gita. And perhaps next time or one of these times, you know, we'll go into some of the history of that. I chose, or Gwydion chose, to skip over the foreword and introduction. But yeah, perhaps next time. It's not very long. Some of the forewords and introductions of some of the books we read are half the book, and it's like, really? With the Carl Jung's Black Books, it's kind of the whole first book, but it's a little different than a usual foreword or introduction, because you're reading his diaries, you're reading Carl Jung's diaries. So rather than just jumping in with his first diary entry, there's an entire book of overview with that one. Okay, so until I come up next on the rotation, I bid you much love from Goa, and all right, until next time.